And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this feast of the Holy Family, I wish to address you, dear children, what it makes and takes to live and grow in a Catholic family. There are especially three things I want to emphasize today, that is to be obedient, to worship God properly, and finally, to forgive your enemies. The Mass texts of today give us a serious teaching of all these. First thing we learn of the Gospel narrative is the obedience of Jesus towards his mother and his foster father. Jesus helped Mary in her household work and served Saint Joseph in his hard trade as a carpenter. All this he did in order to give a great example of obedience to all children. You children also have an obligation of obedience toward your parents. To be disobedient leads to very bad things. Today's bulletin tells you about a sandwich generation to which many of the adults of your parents' age belong. But some years ago, a British psychologist called yours, that is the youngest generation, the spoilt generation, meaning children who have grown in the lack of any parental authority. One of church's saints, Saint Peter Chrysologus, who was a 5th century doctor of the church, has said that a child who does not love his parents is more like a monster than a child. Of course, you know that even by nature, without religion, children can love their parents. But the love what a Christian child needs to have for his parents has to be much more than mere natural affection. You children need to love your parents for the sake of God. You are obliged to pray for their spiritual good and beg God to grant them a long, happy, and peaceful life. How unnatural, then, and how inhuman must those children be who have a hatred in their hearts to their parents. If you remember your younger siblings, you notice how helpless we all are at our birth, weaker than any other living creature. A baby cannot do even a smallest thing to serve or help himself. It was our dear parents who provided us all the necessities we needed when we were babies, during that time when we were unable to help ourselves. That's why, children, you as a Christian child must be very careful never to cause grief to your parents. This does not merely mean that you do not rob or abuse them, because even children who are not Christians are able to do that much, or that you just show occasional attachment to them, because even animals are capable of this. But you must love your parents because both they and you were created by God. You must pray for them and stay far away from mortal sin. It is the children of spoilt generation who shorten the days of their parents by grief and trouble and bring them to their graves before their time. The second thing what we learn from today's gospel is the obligation you have towards God. The example of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph show us that we must enjoy to spend time in the house of God, namely in the church. We must listen attentively to God's word, make an effort to act reverently before Him, and to avoid all distractions. That's why, children, your parents, teachers, and priests always check very closely, first of all, that you do go to Mass, and also how you behave at Mass. Not all the parents of the world do that. Unfortunately, most of the parents of that spoilt generation I mentioned earlier are so mesmerized by the excellence of their own children that they fail to see any faults whatsoever in them, much less to correct them. But you children should be aware that the world, which so often dislikes the teachings of Jesus, never fails to keep close eye on you. In fact, the world watches you much more closely than your parents, teachers, and priests do. Because when the world hears someone saying, "I am a Christian," the world also watches, does he act like a Christian? And if he does not, he draws upon himself world's derision, and not only to himself, but upon the whole Christian faith as well. The third commandment teaches us clearly, a member of a Catholic family goes to church on Sundays to show love and worship to God their Father and Creator. In today's Gospel, our Lord's mother freely wanted to go this long journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem so that she could only visit the sanctuary of the Lord. Jesus, who was God Himself, took all the trouble and effort to present Himself in this religious occasion and travel to Jerusalem, even when it should really have been the world who should have come to Him. What a misfortune it would be on your lives if you, as a grown-up, would end up live in a place where there is no Mass. Many of our faithful who right now follow the Mass through the Internet live in that situation where there simply isn't possible for them to go to Mass. And if that's the case, then of course it is no sin to miss Mass. But print this on your minds, children. Not going to church on Sunday has to always be an exception. It can never become the rule. The third thing I want to mention you is what Saint Paul speaks in today's epistle, that for your whole life you must clothe yourself with mercy, humility, and patience, forgiving another, because the Lord has forgiven you your sins. This is the true acid test whether you are confessed as a Christian or not. It's good to realize that our Lord Himself was born into this world that He might one day suffer and die. And imitating Christ and the martyrs who prayed for their enemies and executioners is something no one can ever exempt himself. The bond of perfection in Christian life is charity, which you must possess above all things, as Saint Paul today writes. So unlike going to Mass, which you can be exempted if it's impossible for you to go, you can never be exempted of showing love, patience, and forgiveness to your fellow men. During Christmas break, I read about a mother whose son was murdered and who said of his murderers, "I can never forgive them for the horrendous, calculated, cold-blooded murder of my son." It made me think of an old story from Italy which told about a woman, a mother, whose example I wish you to remember for the rest of your lives. In the city of Bologna, in one of its palaces, lived a very noble lady. She was a widow who had only one young son. He was her precious baby, and she always cherished him as her treasure. One day this boy was playing before his home when a drunken soldier who passed by began to tease him. In the course of the argument, the soldier finally drew his sword and killed him with the strike to the boy's heart. Then, horrified what he'd done, now that it was past remedy, the soldier ran in haste and anxiety to the gate of the palace, not knowing it was the home of the boy whom he just killed, and he craved for help and protection from the mother. She, who had yet no idea what had happened, promised him her protection and hid him in her own apartments. Meanwhile, the news of the cruel killing spread, and the officers of justice arrived to search the assassin, and the lady heard that the poor victim was her own cherished son. One may well imagine what were the poor mother's feelings on hearing this. She staggered pale into her oratory, cast herself at the feet of the crucifix, and cried, "My God, hast thou permitted this? Thy holy will be done. Yet I will not that two lives will be sacrificed for one. Should self-love gain victory over me, to have my child avenged, or should I shield the murderer for the love of thee?" Then she showed such self-control that she forced her heart to love the murderer and to wish him all the good she desired for her only child. She ordered a splendid meal and served that to him herself. After the table was cleared, she addressed him by the name of son. He was greatly confused, but even more so of what he heard next. She spoke, "I am no longer a mother, since you have robbed me of the only son I had. But I will again be a mother, and of you alone. From now on, you shall be my son and heir. For the present, hurry to put yourself in safety, as your life is in danger. Here's a purse full of money. Saddle the fastest horse in my stables and take flight beyond the frontiers." She would have said more, but her tears choked her words. The street in which this event took place was after then called the Strada Pia, or the Street of Charity, in memory of the heroic charity of this mother and of so marvelous forgiveness. So there you have it, dear children. During the course of your life, which I pray brings you many and plentiful happy years, you often meet people who give you an occasion to displeasure, maybe even hate. But you can never deny your help or act of charity from them because of your own feelings. The world who lives without the fear of the Lord can take away your family. It can take away the Holy Mass from you, but you can never let anyone or anything to rob charity from you. That is the one command, that you love each other as God has loved you, which admits no exceptions, no ifs or buts, no all those or on the other hands or howevers. In your lives, let your revenge for injuries be charity. As wise Solomon writes, if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him water to drink. The learning of a man is known by patience, and his glory is to pass over wrongs. If you follow this, you will also grow like Jesus did, not only grow in years like all children do, but most importantly, grow in wisdom and in grace, like the members of a Catholic family must do. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.